This conference is being recorded.
Welcome. This is Sheva Kaur. I'm the CEO of a company called Sierra, and this is a heart start to your week called the week of November 26, 2007, Giving Gifts from the Heart. Well, I'm just bursting from my own heart in anticipation for this call all day long because gift giving is really, well, in a sense, it's what has motivated my entire life's work. And the celebration of the energy of giving is just something that I find absolutely thrilling. As a matter of fact, when I was a child, one of my hobbies was to gather stories of giving, stories that I loved of giving. And one of the first stories that I that went in my collection was a short story, The Gift of the Magi. I just loved the fact that these two people loved each other so much that they would be willing to give up what was most valuable to them to express that love and end up with realizing that they both had what was most valuable, which, of course, for those who don't know this story, I don't even know if I remember it anymore. Maybe someone on the call can help me out. I know that there's a woman who has this beautiful long hair, and there's her husband, I guess, has a, is it a watch that he has? Does anyone know the story?
Mm-hmm. I think it was a watch, yeah.
A pocket watch.
Pocket watch, yeah.
And it's Christmas time, I believe, and they just love each other so much. They're very poor, but they want to, it gives me chills even, this story. It was like, I've known this story since I was 8 years old. It just moved me so much that she went and cut off all her hair so that she could sell it and afford to buy him a chain for his watch. And he went and sold his watch, which was his only prized item, so that he could buy her a beautiful comb to put in her long hair. And so, of course, they came to give each other these gifts, and the material things were useless because they couldn't use them anymore. But what they each received was this communication of a depth of love. So I fell in love with that story, and it inspired me as a child to gather all kinds of stories of gift-giving. And part of it, I have to give thanks to my parents because they were phenomenal gift-givers. And the reason that they were is because they always gave from the heart. So what does that mean? We're going to talk about it specifically tonight and give you tangible ways to access the power of the heart in your gift-giving, so that your gift-giving gives back to you, for one thing. In other words, when we truly give of ourselves, we're bringing more of ourselves forth into the world. More of our value comes through. And in giving more of ourselves and our value into the world, then it's like plugging yourself into a recharger. The human system was meant to run on care. How do we know that? Well, research from this remarkable institute called HeartMath has discovered that when we experience care and participate in acts of genuine generosity, care, compassion, things that we would call heartfelt acts or experience heartfelt feelings in what we're doing, that it actually changes over 1,000 things in our physiology, starting with the heart rhythm. That giving of the heart, giving from true caring, creates a uniquely ordered pattern in the heart that then impacts 1,400 other things in our body, all the way from balancing and synchronizing our nervous system, which is really important because the nervous system governs 97% of all of our body's functions. So, you know, they used to say an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, caring every day really keeps the doctor away. Unless you are the doctor and that's your form of care. it also, when the heart goes into that uniquely ordered pattern, It opens up higher brain centers. And this is what I'm excited to talk to you about tonight, because the creativity that can be accessed in gift giving, where you can really experience and share the tremendous joy of what it is to be in the heart, is practically accessible, meaning step by step, reliable. You can ensure that you will have such a fun holiday and give gifts that will genuinely touch people and express the depth of love and care that you have for them. So that your holidays, whatever they are, whether you're listening to this call because it's somebody's birthday or you're preparing for one of the other major holidays where we have these gift exchanges, that the holidays can be easy, can be fun, can be an adventure, can be playful and joyful and filled with all the things that they were intended to be before they became commercialized and stressful. So I'd like to start in the heart, of course. Before we started the recording function, we had a beautiful check-in where people from the Sierra community, the Sierra family, I like to call it, actually all across the U.S. and Canada checked in. And so we're coming to this call from lots of different places and spaces and time zones and work days. So just to all come together in the heart for a moment, let's focus our attention there in the area around the heart. And then allow the breath to come in as if it's coming in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. In through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. Now, often on these Heart Start calls, what I do is introduce you to the heart math science, which is the foundation on which all of our courses here at Sierra that we offer are based, tools and technology developed by heart math to empower us to create that ordered pattern in the heart that gives us the feel-great feeling we call Sierra, a word we invented to mean that great feeling you have in your heart when you feel aligned with your purpose, when you feel joy and peace, when you feel an inner knowing that nothing can take away from you. Or, as it says in our press release, when your arms fly up over your head and a yes to life flies out of your mouth. So it's that feeling that we're all trying to give one another and experience ourselves through holidays and really through gift giving. And yet one of the things that has happened in our sort of age of commercialism and materialism, which I am, please know, I have no judgment about that. I love great things. I love elegant, beautiful, fabulous stuff. We're so fortunate to live in a time when we can access that abundance and celebrate it and participate in it, except when it becomes a distraction to the value it was meant to bring for us. And all too often in the holidays, the stuff, which of which it seems like there may never be enough, overrides the essential core quality that the stuff is actually a placeholder for. You know, I think of all the stuff and the actual physical gifts that we give each other are like the settings in a ring. But imagine giving somebody a ring without the gemstone in it. Well, the gemstone, the diamond, is really accessed in the heart. It's the feeling. It's the feeling we want to give. And it's also the feeling we want to experience and receive. And so we're going to talk about specific ways tonight to access that based on the heart math research. And so usually in these calls, there's We have an hour, so there's enough time to do a little introduction to the HeartMath research and how it applies to the particular topic we're addressing. And so then after those little truffles, chocolate truffle appetizer hors d'oeuvres, we tell you where you can go buy the whole chocolate cake. Well, tonight, my intention is to make this process a little more interactive, almost like a workshop, so that you actually get some value from listening to the call tonight for your own process of preparing for the holidays, whatever form your holiday season might take or how you celebrate that. And so in starting in the heart, coming back to putting our attention on the area around the heart, so taking our attention off of the settings, off of the set dressing or the ring setting, and putting it into the gem, the treasure in your chest, and just letting the breath come in through the area around the heart and out through the area around the heart. What I'd like to begin with in this interactive, fun process is to have you start to activate your favorite feelings that you've experienced at holiday times. If it helps, you can obviously, you know, call up some of your favorite holiday memories. Just keep an eye on the fact that you don't want to go into sentimentality. You don't want to go into memories that have strings attached, like, oh, I had such a good time with my dad, and now he's dead, and I really miss him. And then you go down the that's called head-in parking instead of heart-in. And that's not a pleasant place to end up, because then 1,400 other things happen in your body when you start spinning into that stuff. So really, as you're focused on the heart, discipline yourself just to bring forth your favorite holiday times with no strings attached. You'll start to find that they took on certain qualities. And if you have a pen and paper, jot those down. What are the memories and what qualities, what feelings, what experiences characterize those magic holiday moments? And if you don't have a pen and paper, you could just make a mental note of that. Almost as if you're watching a newsreel of your favorite holiday moments. Anybody want to share what you could do, either a small description of the moment or even more essential, what were the qualities you were experiencing in those moments? And if you've star sixed your phone to mute, just make sure you unmute if you're talking so we hear you.
Well, Sheva, for me, in thinking about the holidays, I immediately went to one of my favorite activities is making chocolates at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a tradition. And it's not the chocolate, it's the sharing and the love when I come together with friends or families, and we've got chocolate all over the place, and it just is just such a very, very special coming together for me. And we're doing that this Friday with my niece, because she's going off to Africa for a month to serve in a clinic there as a nurse.
Mm,
and so, yeah, we're having a family chocolate making and send off, and to me that. That's one of the most beautiful feelings and memories, and that I can bring up.
Now, I have a question for you, Rhonda, and this may not be an issue for you, but I know in my family, what we do is we make candied pecans every Christmas. And so, have there ever been a time when the making of the chocolate became a chore rather than a joy?
No, but there was an instant, not with my family, but with another person who was in my life, where it was not a pleasant experience.
Mm.
But the majority of the times, it's been beautiful.
And so in that instance, see, because one of the ways that, and we cover this extensively in the beginner workshop, by the way,
yeah.
There's one in person here in L.A., this Saturday and one coming up on the webinar starting December 4th, that one of the ways to have more fiera in your life as well as in the holidays is, ironically, to examine what gets in the way of it. Because if you can master that, then you can have a lot more of it. So just as an example, because you're being such a good sport and sharing your story,
yeah.
What was it that happened in that time that it wasn't joyful?
Oh, it was very, very painful. It was a friend of mine that I had been very, very close with and very intimate with in terms of sharing, you know, our fears and joys and everything. And another person came in, another friend of hers we invited in, and I was summarily excluded.
Mm.
And it was very painful. And I had no idea where that was coming from, and it was behavior that was so antithetical to what we had shared for so long.
Mm. And so even in that, because here's the thing, you know, holiday season is one of my busiest times of year. Interestingly enough, most healthcare providers see less patients during the holiday season. But as a stress management counselor, I see a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
I get calls on Thanksgiving Day saying, can you see me today?
Yeah.
Because as beautiful as holidays are, and we address some of this in the invitation, they're also a setup for a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And this is where the power of the heart comes in, so that we can actually enjoy what a holiday could be rather than experience the stress setting that it could turn into, right? So we can put gems in that ring setting rather than cut ourselves on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the opportunity. And so in that circumstance, and here's a little trick for all of you as you're entering into your holiday that you can give yourself as a gift. Because, of course, if we're going to give gifts to others, we've got to be full first ourselves.
Hmm, yeah.
And the gift that you can give yourself is that every stressful situation, like this little example that you gave us, Rhonda, and there's a tool specific in the beginner course that you just learned, Rhonda, called Perception Shift, that helps to do this. You can actually find what is the gem, the diamond, what we might call the fiera feeling or the core value that's being violated or betrayed in the stressful moment, and then bring yourself back to that. So in that particular example, thank you again for your vulnerability in sharing that with us. Obviously, what was being betrayed was belonging and inclusion, friendship, right?
Yeah, loyalty.
Loyalty, well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then here's how you give the gift to yourself and to those around you. Rather than react to what other people are doing that betrays what you see as the essence and core value of the holiday, you become the source of it in the room.
Yes.
So where someone is excluding you or being disloyal, you become inclusive and bring loyalty forward. Even if it's just for yourself, even if it's just to include your hurt in the embrace of your heart's compassion, and to be loyal to your own integrity and self-care to step out of a situation that doesn't serve you. That, in the end, will bring those values to the whole situation. So, again, the only way that you can do that, that you can meet each situation and continue to be the source of value in it, is to remember what the gemstone is that's being given and not mistake the settings for the gemstone. Because one of the things that happens to us, not just at holiday time, it can be any time, we get so identified with accomplishing things in physicality, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to get my things to-do list done. Got to get the chocolates made. Got to whatever it is, right? Got to wrap all the presents. got to get the website done, got to get the bills paid,
mm-hmm.
that we forget that all of this is the setting for the gemstone of the value that we are, whatever that is, the Fiera. There's so many different textures and spectrums of this Fiera feeling, right? Loyalty is definitely one of them. Friendship, inclusion, belonging, those things that you experience, right? We could take anybody's story
mm-hmm.
of their favorite holiday moment or their worst holiday moment and find the gems in it.
Mm-hmm.
And learn, this is the mastery of the heart to me, is to learn how to bring the gift of your heart to every situation. That's true giving from the heart. And so as you examine, thank you so much, Rhonda, that was really beautiful. As all of you examine these favorite holiday moments, you could take a moment as well now and jot down what were some of the worst holiday moments. Similarly, you could look at what were the favorite gifts that you've ever received. This is really good to do.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the most difficult gifts to receive? Very likely everyone on this call has received a gift that you had to put a poker face on for. Or given a gift that someone felt they had to. While you're jotting down, you know, these best memories, worst memories, favorite gifts, worst gifts that you've both given and received, right? Because this is a pool of information that will be a resource for us as I introduce how you can access that information and bring gems to this holiday season in your gift giving. I'll share a little story that still makes me cringe a little bit about when I didn't give a gift from the heart and when I did. So I love my brother very much. He's 2 years younger than I am, and he lives in New Jersey, and I live in L.A., so we're on opposite coasts, and we don't see each other much. I haven't seen him in almost 2.5 years now. But we have a deep mutual respect, even though we rarely connect. And 4 years ago, my father died. And that first holiday, we couldn't fathom being in our family house without him. So I said to my brother and my mom, I said, let's go somewhere where all the sounds are new and the smells are new and the sights are new. So we trundled off to Eastern Europe for Christmas, which was a phenomenal experience, and we had a great time. And it was a very tense time in all of our lives because 2 weeks before my father died, my brother found out that his fiance was having an affair, and she broke up with him. And then a week after my father died, my fiance broke up with me. So it was like a tumultuous family time. And my brother and I really were anchors of support to each other through that. And at one point, I was on the phone with him as we were preparing for our trip to Europe. And he said to me, just in this despairing voice, he said, Sheva, I don't like who I'm becoming. I look in the mirror and I see anger. And a light bulb went off in my head and I thought, ah, I can give him the Transforming Anger book for Christmas. Thinking that that would be a good idea, thinking being the operative word in that sentence. And while we say it's the thought that counts, unfortunately, it's the heart that cares. And so thinking can sometimes lead us astray in our gift giving. Well, we were having a fabulous time in Europe. We were on a train headed into Prague on our on Christmas morning, and so we exchanged our gifts sitting on the train watching the sunrise, which was really, really fun. And my brother opened up this book, Transforming Anger. Oh, my goodness. Well, boy, did it ever ignite some for him. He felt offended. He felt like I was trying to fix him. I felt terrible. And so I realized in hindsight that to give from the heart was not to give about the heart. It was not to talk about the heart. It was really to feel my brother, who he is, and cherish him, and let my gift come from that, from just appreciating him exactly as he is. So this is one of the reasons I don't offer gift certificates to Fiera classes as a holiday gift-giving, you know, I don't know, promotion or something like that. It's much more beneficial to give of the heart, from the heart, rather than to give about the heart. Hint, hint, here, take a stress management class. So his birthday is January 12th. And I learned my lesson. I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do that again. So this time I applied my tools, tools that, again, we teach in the beginner workshop, but I'm going to give you some of them tonight, some windows into this tonight of what I did with my brother. And I dropped in, and just as you've been appreciating and remembering your favorite holiday moments and the qualities that they embody, I sat down and I went to my heart, I focused on my heart, and I just connected with all my favorite moments that I spent with my brother. I focused on the amazing gifts that he's given me in his life, in my life, and on some of the gifts I've given him that he really loved. And I did that for a few minutes and just really appreciated his qualities. And I started to appreciate the gift that he as a person is to me, that he is in my life. And I asked my heart to show me what I offered him that was of value. You see, because the actual physical gifts that we give people are the tip of an iceberg. And the tip of the iceberg can be so much more powerful, so much more beautiful, when we acknowledge at least to ourselves what the actual full iceberg is, if you will. Although ice is not the best analogy there, because this is so warm, so genuine, so real, that the gifts are an afterthought. The tip of the iceberg of the fact that who we are is inherently a gift to everyone that knows us. And then you have this little physical representation of that that's like a punctuation mark at the end of that. And yet, as I watch with my clients and television commercials in our culture, which is so based around selling and getting, and we talk about that in the invitation to tonight's call, that the word to sell comes from an old English word, sellen, which means to betray. But the word celebrate shares its roots with the word celebrity, which means familiar or famous. We get along famously means we're familiar, we know, we're family, we're connected. That connectedness happens in the heart. We already know that we're gifts to one another. And the physical gifts we give punctuate that. But in a culture that is based on selling and has sold out a lot of its gems for the settings, sometimes we overlook that. And we make the physical gifts more important, the tip of the iceberg more important than the base. And that's why some of us experience holidays like the Titanic crashing. And so I really anchored in to myself, because in that mess, we forget to value ourselves and we end up driven by insecurity. And so our holidays become this mad dash to have the house look perfect for the guests and the food just right and the gifts wrapped you know, nicely and have just the right gift. And, oh, God, did we leave someone off the list and forget them and they gave us something and we scramble to find one of the gifts we've received that we could pass on to them so it doesn't look like we forgot them. And all this stress that's based on insecurity when, in fact, who we are is already a gift. It's trustworthy. It's true. And so to take a moment with each person that you want to gift, each person that you value, as I did with my brother in this moment, I sat down and I said, okay, show me what my value is to him. And in that moment, it removed these judgments that I had been holding towards my brother, because for whatever reason, I have this insecurity. There it is, right? And I have an insecurity about men who have types, or women for that matter, you know, like they won't date this type of person, but they'll only date Asian women or something like that. And probably because redheads are a rare type, it brings up a lot of insecurity for me, and then I end up judging it. And, oh, that's so shallow and blah, blah, blah. Because I feel, what, left out, like I don't belong. So there's my brother, and his type is Russian women. He loves Eastern Europe. And at the time, he had just started dating. He was just out of this horrible relationship with his ex-fiance, this Russian woman. And I had been judging him for it, and it was a source of an explosive fight on our trip to Europe, and I had to use my heart math tools to get over it. And as I found my value to him, all that judgment cleared, and I realized this was a love for him. This lit up his heart. Something about it had a connection to him. And how beautiful that was, and that I could honor that. And so rather than giving to my brother so that he would become who I wanted him to be, I was in a position now to give to my brother to celebrate who he already is. And so I went to Little Russia. Here in Los Angeles, there's a wonderful little town, you know, inside LA. There's Little Tokyo and Chinatown, and there's also Little Russia. And I put together a care package for him. This was my heart's guidance, by the way. And one of the key pieces of heart math research is that they've found that these positive emotional states like caring and appreciation and removing judgment, so neutrality and allowing and accepting, this ordered pattern in the heart enhances almost like an antenna the signals between a brain that's been discovered in the heart, an intelligence there, and the brain in your brain, lighting up higher perceptual centers. So you actually have like an internal GPS in your heart. A GPS in your heart that's connected to other people's hearts. How do we know that? Well, you can do heart transplants, but you can't do brain transplants. When you put two people, or even a person and a dog, or a person and a horse, or a person and a dolphin side by side, and they're appreciating one another, their hearts will sync up as if they're one heart. So when you appreciate the people you want to give to, and you appreciate the value and the gift that you already are to them, it creates order in your heart and allows the connection you have with that person to tap you intuitively into what would give them joy. And it opens up the higher centers of your brain to innovate and create ways to do that are within your budget and your means, and that will delight both of you even more. So this is what happened for me after this European trip. I was sitting there, and I didn't have a lot of money, and I got that flash of insight and intuition. He loves Russian women, and he loves Russian stuff. I thought, all right, well, I went down to Little Russia, and everybody there was so helpful and kind, and they got all excited about what I was doing and gave me all these special deals. So I got him special Russian liqueurs and Russian teapots and Russian CDs and a Russian cookbook all in Russian on how to make aphrodisiac sexy meals and just removed all my judgment and really got into that this is an area that he loves. And I sent him that package. I'll tell you, that was 4 years ago. And to this day, I still have the voicemail he left for me on my cell phone recorded. I've never heard so much joy in my brother's voice as when he received that package, bursting with joy and the level of appreciation that he poured out to me. It's really one of my favorite holiday memories, especially in light of the fact that it followed upon such a disastrous failure in the Christmas gift that I'd given him. So that's just an example of what happens when we give from the head and try to make it the thought that counts, or when we're genuinely giving from the heart, the punctuation of the gift that we already are. So from these lists that you've made of favorite holiday moments, favorite gifts that you've given, favorite gifts that you've received, or worst holiday moments, worst gifts you've given, worst gifts you've received, see if you can pull out or identify 3 to 5 gems, 3 to 5 genuine values, qualities like belonging or loyalty or care or whatever it is for you. See if you can glean a few of those and write them down. Because those qualities will be your heart anchor points for the holidays and for your gifts. You can know that whatever physical objects you give away, it's really those qualities you're imbuing in the physical objects that you're giving. And that therefore, just like you're drawing those qualities through you, which means you're also drawing them to you and creating more of that experience in your holiday. Then what you can do is just, for homework, if you will, make a list of the people you'd like to gift. But just for the sake of going through the process on the phone right now, pick one person. Pick one person that you would like to give of yourself this season. And if you have some thoughts about what you would like to gift them, then you could certainly jot those down, because it's really great to see what your head or your initial reaction is as far as what you want to do and what your heart comes up with. And sometimes what's wonderful is when you get the two of those things working in tandem, it's not about cutting off the head intelligence, it's really about getting the head and the heart working together. And we have wonderful resources from HeartMath for supporting that heart-brain communication and allowing us to have such incredible experiences and impact in the world. So now what I'd like you to do is just stream of consciousness, either mentally note or start to jot down what are your favorite memories with this person? What are the qualities that you love about them? How is this person a gift in your own life? And as you do that, start to become aware of how are you a gift to them. It might surprise you, right? From that state of appreciation where the intelligence, the GPS in your heart is more available to you, your heart might surprise you. I know it does me a lot, where it says, well, actually, this is the value you bring to this person. I was appreciating one of my teachers that way, and couldn't really imagine how I could possibly be a gift in her life because she's just one of my greatest mentors. And my heart said, well, you give her hope for the future. Her knowing, just knowing that you exist gives her hope that her message has not been in vain. I was like, whoa. So you may be a gift in ways that you don't even know. And you can tap into the heart. And as you tap into the gift that your presence is to this person and the gift that they are to you and experience your appreciation of that, from that vantage point, ask your heart, what would be, if you're going to give a physical gift, it could be a physical gift, and it might be something you least expect. So just be available to whatever bubbles up, right? Just ask your heart, what can I give this person that would punctuate the depth of our care for each other? And write down the first thing that comes to your mind. And that's a fun little exercise that you can do for all your holiday gifting this year. And you can certainly even do that for yourself. It's very important for us to receive well as give well. So many fun ways that giving can be discovered as receiving, and receiving can be discovered as giving. I passed through a phase in life where I felt guilty for receiving. And so I kind of shut out that part of my life and felt like it was only noble to give. And there were two things that happened that really changed that. The first being that I took a course at the Kabbalah Learning Center, which was very enlightening. And one of the first things they had us do was they handed out candles to all of us for Hanukkah. And then they said, okay, before we light Hanukkah candles, we're going to play a game. And the game that we're going to play is you have to give of yourself. You have to give your candles away. And the person that ends up with the least number of candles wins. And so, of course, then they said, start, and we're all trying to give away our candles, and no one will receive candles because you're going to win if you end up with no candles. And so nothing happened. Nothing moved. The game wouldn't work. And this, of course, was the beautiful lesson that we were given. That receiving is giving because you give others the opportunity to enjoy the gift of giving, which is the greatest joy because it's through giving that we receive our soul, we receive who we are, we receive our own essence. And so that was life-changing for me because I realized that unless I was willing to receive, the whole game of giving on planet Earth shuts down. And so I decided that this was a real challenge for me and I really needed to learn how to receive. And so this is another fun exercise that you can do for yourself, either at the holidays or at any other time. I called a bunch of my friends and clients, and I said, you know what, I haven't been taking good care of myself, and I want to learn how to receive. So I'm going to send myself, I really and truly did this, I'm going to send myself a care package. And what I'd like each of you to do, if you'd like to, I mean, just an invitation, no requirement. I gave them a specific date, and I said, on that date, I will be sending my package. So if you would like to include something in it, you can mail it to me or bring it by. Just make sure it's wrapped, and I'll put it in the package and mail it to myself. Well, the outpouring of gifts that I received actually moves me to tears right now. And I also went and I bought some special little gifts for myself, and I wrapped them and I put them in this package. Well, at the time, I had been single for almost 8 years, I think. And it just so happened that a young man that I went to acupuncture school with was bringing by some acupuncture needles that I had ordered the night that I was putting together this package. And I, so funny to remember this. And so he walked in, and I was a little embarrassed. I didn't realize he was going to do the needle delivery then. He said, "What are you doing?" So I told him the truth. Well, one of the things that I put in the package was a little card to myself, giving myself a gift certificate to go to the Huntington Gardens and Library. And apparently this young man had had his eye on me for many years, but had been too shy to do anything about it because I seemed so self-reliant and didn't need anything and didn't receive. So he actually snuck a $100 bill. He was so moved by what I was doing. He snuck a $100 bill into the package with the note saying, "If you'd like someone to go with you to the Huntington Garden and Library, call me." Well, that young man became my boyfriend for 3 years. So receiving becomes giving and becomes more receiving and becomes more giving. And the giving-receiving game, Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism, the word Kabbalah actually means to receive. So whether it's Christmas you celebrate or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or any of these beautiful holidays, what they are really to me, the gem behind them, is the ability for us to receive the heart, the core of who we are, by giving of our heart to all that is. And I thank you all so much for giving me the opportunity to share with you on these Heart Start calls, because it is one of my greatest joys to give of my heart in this way. We have another few minutes here, and I just want to open up the call if anybody has any questions or any stories of their own that you'd like to share, or any questions about the upcoming Heart Math workshops, where we go much more into depth on specific tools you can use to access this Fiera feeling, to create that order in the heart and bring that heart intelligence to all that you do.
Becky. Hello.
Hey, Becky.
Hi. This just called to mind that I'm 51, and when I was 20, I just gotten out of college. I didn't have any money, and I was trying to think of what to give for Christmas. I have three brothers and sisters and my mother at the time. And what I did was spent hours and hours going through magazines and cutting out words and phrases and through catalogs, and then cut out pictures of posters, calendars, and greeting cards, so they were tiny little beautiful pictures, and I put them, I filled a picture frame for each person, and the words were the essence of who they were to me. So when it all was put together in a collage that filled the picture frame, the combination of the pictures I chose for each person and the words that covered and filled the picture frame was essentially just giving them that snapshot of saying, "This is who you are to me." And then about 10 years later, when I was 30, I did it for both my children, and about 5 years later, I did it for my second husband. And to this day, even the 30-year-old ones, every one of those people still has those.
I love that.
They turned out just absolutely amazing. I mean, it's just the phrases I would find were just like the perfect phrases. The pictures were perfect. The words were perfect. And every inch of it was filled. And they didn't cost anything. They took a lot of time, but they were so much fun. And I enjoyed it more than anything. And they absolutely cherish them. My children still have them. They'll have them long after I'm gone, even if they have nothing else.
That is such a great idea. You know, that reminds me also back 1 year for my father, I just felt like nothing that I wanted to give him physically was, you know, a good enough tip of the iceberg, so to speak. And so what I did was I sat down and I just fantasized all the wildest things I would give him if I could give him anything at all. He was a scientist, so I thought, okay, one of the things I would give him is a Nobel Peace Prize or a Nobel Prize for his work in science, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just, like, I let nothing limit what I thought I would give him, and then I created a collage of all those
things
and gave him the feeling, the thought of it, right? And it was really fun. It was one of our favorite holidays. So that's a great idea. And these are all ways that you can generate the joy that, you know, is in the picture perfect family Snapchat holiday for very little money, right?
Yeah.
I know this year, I don't know about those who are listening to the call, but many of my clients, especially with what's happening in real estate, are feeling the stress of, you know, of money this year and finances and resources, and it's very real for them that the holidays feel like pressure because they don't have the resources to gift. And these ideas are ways that we can gift from our inner resources no matter what our outer resources are. That's beautiful. Thank you, Becky.
I like your idea, too.
Lots of fun. We're trading best practices here. Anybody else want to ask any questions or share any stories before we close up the call for the night?
I have something I would like to say to you, Sheva.
Is that Becky?
Yes, it is.
We got double Becky tonight. Becky Robbins. Hey, good to hear your voice.
Thank you. We're talking about giving, and you were talking about you giving, and there's something that I have experienced with what I've been receiving from you.
Mm.
That I haven't said anything about, but has definitely impacted me, and it's impacted me a lot, and I think that you would really like to hear it. So the thing that it is that a lot of times with people who do things, like what you're doing, what you're giving, I kind of feel like I have to, like, fight for their attention or do something, you know, to get their attention. If somebody else gets their attention, then I feel like I've lost something, and it just feels weird. It feels really weird. And I've never had that feeling from you. I've never had that feeling like when you're helping somebody else or talking to someone else that I'm missing out or whatever. And maybe this is a little telling about me. I don't know.
Oh, this is great.
But, yeah, I always feel like you care about me. I always feel like you have this compassion and love for me no matter what you're doing, no matter what happens, no matter how things look or whatever. I just always feel that from you, and it is such a gift.
Mm.
So thank you.
Wow, thank you for that mirror and that reflection. That means a lot to me because that's certainly been my goal and my desire, and I'm happy to, you know, my desire to embody that universal compassion and that complete availability to you in care. And I can definitely say to you that that was a learned skill. And that's the good news, right?
Yes.
Because I didn't just pop out like this at all. My mother could share some great stories with you, let me tell you. Right? And so if I can learn that, to embody that, anyone can. And I'm telling you, it comes from the heart. It's who we are inherently, and we can access it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I receive your gratitude, and I pass it on to HeartMath, because that has been a great vehicle for me. As, you know, all the great teachings that are available to us now are. So thank you so much, Becky. Really appreciate that.
This is Becky Fisher. I want to say to Becky and Sheva that I totally understand what Becky just said, and I feel it too. It's like, Sheva, it's like you're a bottomless pit of totally, what's the word for love? I'm missing the word. non-judgmental. What?
How about Fiera?
Oh, yes.
There Fiera. We go. That's why we created that word, because it's hard to find one that captures it.
Non-judgmental. There's another word, but I totally agree, and it just feels like it's just your bottomless pit, and it's just always there for everyone.
Well, you know, that's another thing that's so beautiful when it comes to giving, where it's genuine giving from the heart. It is infinite. It is bottomless because it's not martyred, and so it doesn't drain our energy. You can know. This is a great little tip for your holiday season. You can know that your giving is genuinely from the heart when it genuinely energizes you. So what you guys are feeling is the fact that I get filled when I give, because I've learned to give from the heart, and of course that's my desire for Fiera, to give that gift, the gift of infinite giving energy to all those who want to receive it.
Unconditional is the word I was trying to think of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely unconditional. Yes.
Hi, this is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hey. You know, I have a friend that has this wonderful saying, and I don't believe he's a math heart student, but what he says is, what comes from the heart goes to the heart. And that's such a wonderful truth, isn't it?
I love that. That's exactly what we've been saying, but much more
succinctly. It says it like, wow, six words or whatever that is.
There it is. What comes
from
the heart goes to the heart.
Yeah, and a few minutes ago when you said that what you're doing is a learned skill, allow me to say that it really isn't a learned skill. It's just something that we have to become reacquainted with.
Yeah.
Because we're all born with it.
Absolutely.
And it just got trained out of us. And so it takes the attention to the detail of finding that small, still place again. And so maybe perhaps there is a learning curve there, but for me personally, I'd like to think of it more as a reacquaintance.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because at the end here, I'm giving away all my punchlines, but at the end of the beginner workshop, I always end with a slide of newborn baby twins that were born 3 months premature, and the younger twin was dying. Her temperature would not rise, and her heart rate was irregular. And it was hospital policy that those two twins should be in separate incubators. But a nurse, following the GPS of her heart, went and put the two twins in the middle of the night in one incubator, and the older twin immediately gave her love to her sister by wrapping her arms around her. And there's a photograph of this, of the older twin holding her sister as a newborn infant, 3 months premature. And immediately, with her arm around her sister and that gift of love, her sister's heart rate regulated and her temperature rose to normal.
Absolutely. And I've done neonatal intensive care nursing back in a previous life, or what feels like a previous life. It was so long ago. And we would do that when we would have twins. We would, as often as possible, put the stronger one next to the weaker one. And even if they weren't even in the exact same isolette, there was still remarkable, noticeable benefit that was documented by all the instrumentation. So that's a wonderful picture and story that you end with. I bet everybody's really amazed.
And that, of course, is what our love can do as a gift to the world.
Mm-hmm. So just thank you so very much for just being the steadfast soldier on the wall every Monday night.
Well, back at all of you. I would just be speaking into thin air, right, if the flute player didn't have anyone to listen to. So, beautiful stories. Thank you all so much. And if you're listening to this as a pre-recording, I still welcome your questions and your stories. You can send them to me directly, Sheva, S like Sam, H E like elephant, V like victory, A, at Sierra, F like fantastic, YERA.com. Or you can call us here at Sierra, 310-581-1507. And if you'd like to receive the Monday night reminders and summaries of the Heart Start calls, you can sign up for that at www.flikefantasticyera.com on the homepage and throughout. There's places where you can sign up for the reminders, and you can also access all the archived Heart Start calls there on the website, which is fiera.com/heartstart.html. Thank you all so much. I just could hang out with you all evening, and I actually have another client tonight that I must give my attention to. And on that note, I think I'll just add, as in reflection of what Becky shared, that in many ways our attention is the greatest gift that we can give. So what you put your attention on this holiday season is really what you're giving to. So put your attention just for fun on love and on the heart itself. Happy holidays, and I look forward to joining you guys for next week's Heart Start call. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Sheva. Thank you.